It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointings coming our way. It's a season of power and prosperity. Of course, you have to cooperate. Before we get started, I want to share a few things. It is the ministry of the Spirit. This is the new covenant, is the ministry of the Spirit. And the word Spirit is associated with breath. It's associated with wind. It's associated with life. And in the Spirit, the Spirit is the carrier. The Spirit always carries. So, He is the carrier of the anointing, even though we call the Holy Spirit, we associate with Him as the anointing. But He is the carrier. So, if it is the ministry of the Spirit, that means that it's the Spirit that is carrying now instead of rituals that brought things to pass. It's the Spirit that carries. No more rituals, nothing associated with the things that we've done in the Old Testament of rituals to stay clean. Everything is associated now with the Spirit, so it's associated with things that are carried. And the Holy Spirit carries the anointing, which is the eternal presence, power, and truth. So because we are in the ministry of the Spirit, understand that the Spirit also means breath, life, and wind. And I want to talk tonight about prophetic winds. And it's important that we grab hold of what's happening. And before I can even really start, I think we need to get a visualization. The Bible tells us that Jesus, or Mary was the shadow of God came over Mary, and the Holy Spirit impregnated her. Amen? So Mary carried in her womb that which was prepared to come into the natural realm, who would be a carrier of the anointing. He was going to receive from eternal realm, from the Spirit of God, who's the carrier, and take position to become the carrier. Is everybody with me? Yeah. Now, when Jesus went into the temple, and there were money changers and all kinds of things on the tables and so forth. They had a flea market there in the temple. And he went over and he began to kick over the tables. It's because it was more than just his authority. It was about not only his anointing, but because he was the carrier of wind, of breath, and of life. Things went over. When they went to go get him in the garden, and the soldiers came up, and they said, "Where is Jesus?" And he said, "I am." And everybody flew back. Poof. His name represented the one who would carry. So when they were in the storms and so forth, and he would be able to rebuke because He was the carrier of not only the wind of God, the breath of God, but the life of God. And in him was stronger than any wind that was out there. Is everybody okay? Good. So I want you to begin to look in this area. So when Jesus died on the cross, right, he gave up his breath. He gave up his, he didn't need to use anything anymore on the earth. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because he was going into the earth and he was now guided. He was changed. He was transformed. He was now spirit. So he no longer didn't need to carry. He didn't need the anointing up on the earth. Amen. He was, and more, who did he commit his spirit to? The creator of all things. The master wind. The one who sets things in order and on course. So now everything was in his hands. And he handled all of the rest of with Jesus, even though that they were now one. So he rose from the dead and so forth. And then he told his disciples, listen, I want you to go wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And you will be baptized in the Spirit. And they waited and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit because now Jesus was transferring the wind, the breath, and the life to his disciples. But I want to step back to the cross because on the cross there was the exchange. He paid every price for me and you so that every stripe that he was whipped with, he took on every sickness. Everything that he did on the cross, the word says that he became, even though he could have been rich, he became impoverished so that we could be rich. In other words, he exchanged everything on the cross for me and you. So that we could be carriers of the wind of God, the breath of God, and the life of God. One of the things that begins to happen is we begin to lose sight of what Jesus has done and we begin to look at our own self. See, we must... It's not anything that, we, even when the word says go out and lay hands on the sick, go out and cast out devils, it isn't anything that you and I have done. We must always look in the area. In fact, what did they do in the Old Testament? They put a serpent on a staff and hung it, and they made it of gold or bronze. And when you looked on it, they got healed because they all got bit by serpents. And he said, look at, if you look on this, which is now the medical symbol, you will be healed. See, when we begin to really look at the exchange that was made, we begin to understand that in that exchange, God took your life, so he gave you his. See, but we keep walking on this earth looking at our life. And we make a lot of, yes, I'm a new creation in Christ, whatever, but we're not really seeing because to see is everything. If we cannot see the exchange, we don't receive it. So we must constantly see the exchange so when we begin to do things, we see the exchange because we now are the carrier. Just where it says Jesus, there was a body made for Jesus to come into the world. Well, we were the bodies now for Jesus to come into us, his spirit. Amen? But we have a tendency to keep looking at us and not the exchange. And we must continue to look at the exchange. No. You know why people get offended? Because they look at them. You know why people get hurt? Because they look at them. You know why people get rejected? Because they look at them. You know why people are oppressed? Because they look at them. See, what the enemy will do is put a veil between you and what Jesus has done on the cross for you. If he can prevent you from accepting the exchange, you're fighting for your life and not his. And there are prophetic winds, and there are things that are happening right now where we don't want to miss, and for us to be in position to release the wind of God, we have to constantly look in the area of exchange. That's where Paul grabbed hold. He said, you know, he looks at Christ crucified. My life is that I see Christ crucified, and I want to be in the place where it's no longer I that live, but him that lives. The life I live now, I don't live for me, I live for him. See, it only takes a moment for you to begin to live for your life again. It takes one moment for you to take your eyes off of the exchange, and then you walk that way for a period of time. That's why it's essential to pray every morning. If you're not a person that prays every morning, you don't even get the exchange. The exchange doesn't even happen. And you go around quoting all kinds of stuff, ain't nothing happening because there's no exchange. See, every day is a new day. You must make the exchange. That's why you go to prayer and you make the exchange. What are you doing? That's why the word says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Why? When you do that, what you're doing is you're making the exchange. Jesus offered himself as a living sacrifice. So that exchange must be consistent for things of God to begin to truly manifest. And the word manifest means to be seen. Psalm 149. Psalm 149. In verse 5. Psalm 149, verse 5, it says, let the saints be joyful in glory and let them sing aloud on their beds. Well, praise God, we're out of our beds, so we can even sing louder. In verse 6, it says, let the high praises of God be in their what? In their mouth. Let the high praises of God, that means you're and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on a nation and punishments on the peoples. In other words, while you're praising God, you are prophetically speaking. You are releasing the wind. You are releasing the wind of God. Does everybody understand? That's why the enemy doesn't want people to seek the Lord and praise him. Because what you sow is what you reap, right? But in that, in this prophetic, that's why it says the high praises of God in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Why? Because it's battle. And you are releasing the wind of God. You know, I've been at some meetings, and there's times even on Friday nights where, man, I can't stop going. Whoa. And I'm like going. And there's a sense sometimes that there's being a release of God's wind coming into the room. Because it isn't me or you or anybody. It's the Spirit of God. It's the wind of God. And it's a prophetic wind. And a prophetic wind are things that are, those are things that are being called that are not as though they are. Because a prophetic wind is not about what you see. It's about what you don't see so that you can bring it to sight. And we'll talk about that. But first, let's go to Mark 4. In verse 33, it says, "And with many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all these things to his disciples. On the same day when evening had come," is everybody there? "He said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Let me tell you, when Jesus tells you, "Let's cross over to the other side," you can expect something to happen. You know, that's why he says, "Follow me." Man, when he says, "Follow me," you can expect something to happen. Amen. "Let's cross over to the other side." Now, I want you to know that he was Jesus being the wind of God, the breath of God, and the life of God. Was speaking prophetically in the area that, okay, I know you're going to only see we're going to go in the water and we're going to go to the other side, but that's not really what's happening. I said we're going to the other side. He talked about a spiritual other side. "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was in. Other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling with water. But he was in the stern also, asleep. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" They weren't even dying. Nothing happened yet. There's some water in the boat. "And Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind." Why? Because his wind was stronger. "And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" Yeah, no faith. In other words, he's saying, "Why can't you see? Come on, I'm here with you. You saw the signs and wonders I've done already. Would I let you die?" It's not time. "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Well, because he is the wind. The windstorm, Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side," of course. He means the unseen side. When he said, "Let's go to the other side," let's go to the unseen side. And his purpose, what he did with them, was to bring them spiritual sight, which is increasing faith, isn't it? Let me share with you what this whole thing was about. It was to awaken them. It was to test them. It was to bring them sight. And it was to change them. It was to awaken them, to test them, so that and bring them sight, and to change them. That was the purpose, what Jesus was doing. When he brought them out there, of course, you know, this didn't really happen to you in the middle of the sea. And these guys, they didn't really know where to go. And the only one they could depend on was him. They did go to him, but they were so afraid. Because fear nullifies faith. See, fear will cause you to look at you. it prevents the exchange from being consistent. When fear comes, you lose sight of the exchange. Unless you have made the exchange that morning and you sense fear come and you blow it away. And you blow it away by what you speak. What is a spirit? What's a demon? It's a disembodied spirit, isn't it? But the wind in you is greater than the wind in the world. Go to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. In verse 1, is everybody there? Ezekiel 37. Again, I want to remind you that the enemy wants to prevent the exchange. Why? Because if he can prevent the exchange, you're thinking it's you. In verse 1, and the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of in the spirit of the Lord. He brought me what? In the spirit. In other words, he brought him in the wind of God. And set me down in the midst. He what? In other words, he carried him, didn't he? And he set him down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass over them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Everyone say dry. And he said to me, Son of man, how can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy. What was he saying? Blow on them. Oh, hallelujah. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live, then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Come from the what? Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may what? Live. In other words, he's telling them, come from the four winds. Come from every area. Come. Come and breathe. Come from the north. Come from the south. Come from the east. And come from the west. He's calling the winds to come. But he's calling the wind of God to come. Does everybody got it? Because he was speaking it, and it was causing it to come. And in this, he says now, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and they stood upon their feet as an exceedingly what? Great army. Well, I want you to look at this now as the day that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You were baptized in the Holy Spirit as an introduction to the army of God. That's why you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've entered into the army of God. God put a new spirit in you, a new heart in you, and put his breath, his wind, and his life in you. And remember when he said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of what? The exchange. What he did. Amen? Why? Because if you maintain that area of exchange, you will walk as Jesus walked, who was the carrier of the breath, the wind, and life of God, which we are. Go to Revelation 7. These were four prophetic winds that carry, and I want you to understand this. Please write this down. The four prophetic winds that were coming from the north, south, east, and west, when he called them to come in, they carried a message. They carried a purpose. They carried power. And they carried order. So everybody got it? They carried a message. They carried a purpose. They carried power. And they carried order. It was to awaken. Remember, it was to awaken. It was to test them to see so that they would have sight and to change them. And it happened, didn't it? Were they not awakened? They would be tested. They would have sight, and they would change. But again, the four winds carried a message, purpose, power, and order. In Revelation chapter 7, in verse 1, Revelation 7, 1. Is everybody there? Let's read the first three verses. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So we see here that these four winds were associated with the judgment angels. They were going to bring judgment. Why? Because God was releasing this to the earth, wasn't he? Is everybody all right? You know, when you think about this, he's talking about this is judgment coming on globally. Globally. What, the four winds here now, these are the four angels that would be carriers of God's breath, life, amen, and there was the wind, but in this, they are now carrying judgment to the earth globally. You know, when you think about the four winds of the earth, look at the area to where, you know, we sometimes make God so small. But even at the altar of the Lord, there's four horns, isn't there? Well, I want to expand a little bit further. I want to go beyond the earth. I want to go to the four corners of the universe. In Genesis chapter 1, he said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In other words, the first thing he created was time. Then he created the spiritual realm and then the physical realm. So in this, when you begin to look at the four winds, it's because everything was established in expansion. The universe is associated almost like a rectangle. In other words, four corners. On the altar, there's four horns with which representing authority. Unlimited, forever, eternal. There's four living creatures. And they have six wings, but they have four faces. There's four gospels. Why? Because it carries a message. There's four different messages. It's the same message, but different views because it comes from different areas. In other words, it's going globally. Everything globally associated with four means global. But I'm talking about the creator beyond the universe because he set the universe and he spoke it in. In John chapter 3, in verse 3, and Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, sight. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a dumb question. In verse 5. And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Look at this, verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you must be born again. Verse 8, here it is. The what? The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Why? Because they are associated as wind. We are now carriers of the wind of God. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Even before Jesus left, what did he do? He breathed on his disciples to sustain them. There was a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why? Because then when that wind came in them, a wind came out of them. Oh, glory. In Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. J-O-E-L. Joel. Joel 2, in verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my what? Spirit, my wind on all what? On all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. In other words, they will express the wind. Old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. Thank God we still see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days again, so that we are carriers of his breath, his wind, and his life. And in his wind, there is a message. That's why we prophesy. Those are prophetic winds that go out. Oh, glory. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14. You know, even from the throne room of God, remember from the Garden of Eden, you remember he talked about the four rivers and where did it go to? Things associated globally. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, let's read it together. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you what? That you prophesy. For he who what? speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. In other words, it was available for everyone, but they did not receive it. Many people don't believe they can. God is not a respecter of person. In fact, if he commanded everybody in Acts chapter 1, he commanded the disciples, which was there 120 of them. There was 500 of them, actually. Only 120 obeyed. The other one went to the religious ritual. And that's how the denomination started. 120 obeyed. And they went up to the upper room. Jesus' mother, his brothers, sisters, and others. And on that day, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But he commanded, he says, I command you not to leave, but to wait for the prayer. I command you. Amen. He commanded him. It wasn't an ask. Because he wanted everyone to be a carrier. So if everybody in that upper room got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, everybody in the body of Christ should speak in tongues. Well, I just don't believe it. Well, because you have a demon. Well, it's just not for me. Well, it's for everybody. Has everybody got it? It's for everybody. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, every gift is available. That means you can lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. But the problem is, we begin to look at us and not the exchange. And if we'll maintain that exchange, you won't look at you, you'll look at him. Remember, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. So when we begin to exchange and look at the things that Jesus did and exchange the price that he paid for us on the cross, we begin to speak things. But not speak things as somebody beating the air. We speak things knowing. Knowing. See, there's a difference of, I don't know. Well, maybe. If you speak things knowing, you'll speak them. Why? Because you'll see them first. Because things must come by hearing, seeing, then speaking. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. In Galatians 6. Galatians 6. And verse 7. What's it say? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he shall also reap. He who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. So you want to stay filled. Does everybody understand that you want to stay filled? When he's saying stay filled with the Spirit of God, you're staying filled with the breath of God, the wind of God, and the life of God. See, others become to get dry. When you get dry, you're looking for another fulfillment. You're looking for another desire. You're taking your eyes off of Christ, and you're trying to express Christ, but you haven't made the exchange, so you really can't. Amen? Praise God. Go to Isaiah 21. Isaiah 21. You know, we're doing warfare, and there's a lot of warfare, and there's prophetic warfare, sending the word out. Because when you speak, prophesy, and you speak, there's a message in the wind, isn't there? But there's something we must understand that Evil is on the earth. The ruler of this earth is Satan. There's evil everywhere. In other words, we can't remove the evil from the earth, can we? Only Jesus can. The only thing we can do is take land and push evil back. But evil is still evil and it's still there. In fact, the word says that he'll separate it when he comes. Separate the tares and the wheat and whatever when he comes. So we've got to come to a place where we can't destroy evil. Has everybody got it? We can only remove it. Okay? Now, we have the power of life and death in our tongue, but we have the power of life and death to destroy the works of the evil so that they are removed. So when we prophesy, we're prophesying life. In other words, I call destructive fire down every day on places, locations of prostitution, locations of pornography, locations of Satan's altars and pagan altars. I call fire down to ask the Lord to dispatch his angels and destroy them. So I'm speaking that. I'm calling it down. I prophesy. I call down this fire on these places to destroy their works. But we cannot destroy them. Jesus will do that with his breath of his mouth. Has everybody got it? What we can do is destroy their works, their operations. We can bring confusion in their own camps. We can cast them out. Amen? And some people don't even do that. In Isaiah 21, in verse 5, he says, prepare a what? The table. Set a watchman in the tower. Eat and drink. Arise, you princes. Anoint the shield. For thus says the Lord to me, go set a watchman. Let him what? Declare what he what? Sees. In other words, prophesy what you see. See, we are called to be watchmen. Why? Because we have been, believe it or not, you've been raised from the dead already. Just like those dry bones, when you were in the world, you were the same thing as the dry bones. He breathed on you, and you became alive. Your eyes began to get open, your ears began to hear, you began to change. And you were so grateful of the price he paid on the cross. Even though we walked away from the cross with the filling of the Spirit and the wind of God, the cross, the shadow of the cross still covers us. To always remind us of where we came from. Amen? We came from his exchange, his price, not ours. Now we pay the price to stay under the shadow. See, even the shadow of the cross is associated with the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? And we are now called to be watchmen. We are to declare what we see. Why? Because he's going, we hear, we see, we speak. We hear, we see, we speak. That is prophecy. And he saw a chariot with a pair of horsemen, a chariot of donkeys, and a chariot of camels. And he listened earnestly with great care. And then he cried, a lion, my Lord. So he listened. Listening earnestly means hear. Has everybody got it? Praise God. In Matthew 24. Is everybody okay? 24, verse 30, it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will what? Appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the what? Four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In other words, he's going to gather us even from the winds. Amen? I want to close in Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm chapter 1. In verse 1, let's speak it together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because if you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, your eyes will be on you. And you will lose sight of the exchange. How many of y'all know that the enemy's trying to speak to you every single day to put a burden on you? You know why people say a lot of times, man, I just don't understand this? Because they just picked up a burden. You don't have to understand it, just cast it off. Why hold on to something you don't know? The counsel of the ungodly. In other words, they're trying to get your eyes on you and away from the exchange. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Well, you know, sinners, their eyes are on them. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Well, let me tell you, they're prophesying the wrong wind. They are prophesying against themselves. Has everybody got it? They are prophesying against themselves. That is called the scornful. They are rebellious. They hold bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever. They're prophesying, grumbling, complaining. That is also associated with scornful. Anything that is ungrateful is scornful. Verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the what? The chaff which the what? Wind drives away. Hello. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, that's a place of rewards, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So please grab hold and understand this. We are carriers. And as carriers of the wind of God, the breath of God, and the life of God, we've got to understand and keep sight and not lose sight in the exchange what was paid. If you will maintain that exchange all the time, you will see, you will hear, you will see, and you will speak. You will hear, you will see, and you will speak. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Prophetic winds. Let it rip. Let it rip. You know, wherever you are, just let it rip. You know, the Holy Spirit shows you something. He's going to tell you something. There's going to be a something in your spirit that says, man, I see it. And he'll say, speak it. And that doesn't mean you're going to prophesy, man, you're going to die. Unless he tells you. I mean, I've told people, you're going to die. But I was a, you might call it prophecy, but it was a warning. Because prophecies are warning too. Hear, see, speak. We are carriers of the wind, carriers of his breath, and carriers of his life. Amen? Don't lose sight. Because that's what the enemy wants to do, is blind you. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, and we're ready to kick butt. So we just decree right now in the name of Jesus, and we speak forth your word and decree and prophesy over each and every one here that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.